Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Shit 90 shows taught me. Seen it before. Stuck behind never ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. Need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, another day, another season of Boy Meets World. Put it in the books. Is in the books.
Can you believe we're already two seasons into the first show that we started this podcast with? I really can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. It's been like such a ride. We're coming up on our 1 year friendiversary, as I like to talk about often. And I just like can't believe it. Like it's, you know, it just feels like such an accomplishment when you mm-hmm. finish a season of a TV show and then get on a platform to talk about it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. If you're listening and you've been with us from the start, you're great. You're amazing. Hi. We're still here. We're still talking about Boy Meets World. We finished season two. That's two out of what, six seasons we have to watch? I'm pretty sure there's six. I think there's seven. Oh my God, seven. Okay. Well, we're two through seven, so we're almost a third of the way there. This is our recap, season two wrap up podcast, basically. So we're going to talk generally about our thoughts on the season. Very similar if you were here for our season one wrap up, we're going to talk through what we liked, what we didn't like, the characters, our favorite episodes, our not so favorite episodes. Obviously, we have to wrap up the fashion awards. I know that's what you're all here for. Let's get into it. Season two of Boy Meets World in the books. Sarah, what were your thoughts on season two as a whole? If you had to describe your thoughts.
I thought that season two, the great thing about season two were all of the guest stars or the guest characters. So we saw a lot of unique and interesting characters that were only there for, you know, like a couple of episodes, and they had mm-hmm. I feel like those episodes were the high highs in terms of like storylines and like progression of characters. I think it was actually a weaker season, and I'm very surprised, you know, coming from season one when we were like, you know, this kind of got stale, it kind of got boring, or like we were so excited to go to season two where we were like more of the action is going to happen.
Yeah.
Overall, I generally think that I enjoyed season one more, which I am pretty shocked to say. I mean, this season definitely felt more of like what the Boy Meets World, like, we know and love, it had more of that feeling. But in terms of, like, comparing it to season one, I think that season one had more high highs. What do you think?
Actually, it's funny because I thought maybe I'd be the only one feeling that way. I would say I kind of echo your sentiments on a lot of those things, right? Like the guest stars like Teresa and Wendy and even people like I love the introduction of Harley Kiner and Frankie and Joey, and those are staples. And obviously we will get to talking about Turner, another huge staple in the show. Loved their introductions. I think that we thought season two was something different coming into it, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. maybe we thought season two was what season three is actually going to be. We thought, okay, we'll lose Minkus, mm-hmm. but we'll get so much more Topanga. And then it turns out, like, no, we really didn't have much Topanga. Like, we may have even had less Topanga than we did in season one.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I do agree with you. I think when I'm thinking iconic Boy Meets World episodes, iconic Boy Meets World moments, not a lot of them this season. Some strong showings from the individual episodes, but I think that Boy Meets World season one was probably a bit more, I remember those episodes more than more I do memorable. Season two. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, like, not, and I'm not, I don't want to crap on season two because I think we had a fun time covering it and I liked season two, but I would also put season one above season two, which is a shock. Like, I don't think coming into season two, I would have predicted this. Being said, I really did enjoy, I think if we're picking specific characters, which we will talk about every character's arc, I will say I think this season did a ton for Sean specifically. So I do appreciate it for that reason. But I think we missed out on we got a couple cute moments between Topanga and Corey, but not as much, I think, as we expected coming into this season.
Right, exactly. I absolutely agree with you. I do think that Sean had a good showing. Corey, I just like, I mean, we'll get into this with the individual arcs, but like, you know, Corey matured in this season, but he definitely wasn't a standout. And I think that they kind of utilized different characters to like pull up the slack, namely Eric. I think that this season was probably like 50% Eric's season and 50% Corey's season. Like, I feel like they really, you know, used Will Friedle as like, you know, as many storylines as Corey. Maybe not 50-50 exactly. Maybe like a 45. No, but he definitely had
more
55.
Of a presence than mm-hmm. he did last season. And then we have Morgan, who like completely disappeared this season.
I mean, all of the family members ultimately kind of became more and more absent aside from Eric. Like, you know, we'll discuss, but I feel like every family member of the Matthews family took a step back this season. But we did get, you know, a lot of really, really exciting, memorable people. I mean, and a lot of times we spent this season saying, I can't believe this person was only in X amount of episodes because they're so memorable. So I think like overall, season two is memorable because we all remember TK. We all remember Jason, who's only in season two. We all remember, like, you know, Wendy maybe a little bit. We definitely remember Harley. Harley was only in season two. So I feel as though, like, my biggest takeaway is the supporting characters made season two. Rather than a Corey, a Sean, an Eric, and the Matthews family. They really had a lot of standout side characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even say that, like, season one was much more Matthews family focused. So, like, mm-hmm. when Corey had an issue, he'd go to his parents all the time. And I felt like this season they really leaned on Mr. Turner for more of that. And then they had, because they're involving side characters like Harley and Frankie and Joey and all of that, it obviously takes away screen time from the family itself. So I completely agree. This season did have really good points, but I think if we're looking at all the episodes as a whole, there's a lot more forgettable episodes than there were in season one. And just a lot less Corey and Topanga stuff than I had remembered. Right. And so we'll get into that. But I agree with what you were saying as well. I enjoyed season two. I like it. It was good. But I think season one feels more like classic Boy Meets World to me than season two does.
Yeah. I also feel like it was less like funny. I don't know. Like maybe it wasn't like less so funny, but more like we laugh so much at like some stupid crap in season one.
Yeah.
Cause it was just so like ridiculous. And like, I don't know. Like maybe it's just like a tone change, but nonetheless, I mean, there were a lot of bright spots, and in between, like, you know, really, really important. We had really important Corey and Topanga stuff that like took us to the level, but it was like, I'm thinking of like their first like really good kiss was in the werewolf episode, Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf? And then we have, you know, Wake Up Little Corey, where like they were found together sleeping, you know, falling asleep. Like it's like all these like important Corey and Topanga moments are sandwiched in like meh episodes. So it's kind of like, silly.
They really didn't have too much of like dedicated episodes to progressing their relationship. Like maybe a little bit, right? Like they had the one where they go to the poetry reading, which was like a big step for them, and even Wake Up Little Corey. But yeah, it wasn't so much the Topanga and Corey show. It really felt like more of, I mean, when we talk character arcs and we talk relationships, I felt like Corey and Sean's relationship progressed way more than Corey and Topanga's.
It's kind of funny because, you know, Corey and Topanga are like the it couple that been together since they were like, quote unquote, 3 years old. And it's like, how are you possibly going to know like this is the person if you never like dated around? Like, it's almost like Corey's like, no, I did date around, but in season two when I was 13 years old.
Yeah, yeah, like,
that's
exactly.
That's when I dated around.
Like, how are you going to retcon that you've been dating this like girl since you're 3 years old when the first two seasons you barely freaking look at her? It's fine, but yeah, so those are our general thoughts, and we'll obviously expand on them as we get into each character and all of that. Did you have an MVP of the season? If you're gonna give an award out to the best character of the season, who did you give yours to?
Okay, so I mean, I have, once again, I have like my serious answer, and then I have like, I mean, like how I kind of really feel. But my serious answer, I think, would maybe be Eric. We saw him like develop, and we had some like really, you know, good episodes with him. I'm thinking of particularly, I'll tell you.
Is it By Hook or By Crook, the one with the tutor?
Yes, thank you. Particularly By Hook or By Crook with the tutor, where, you know, we kind of get an insight into, like, you know, Eric wanting to do well, but, like, you know, people not taking him seriously because he's good looking and he really wants to try. We got the start of his relationship with Feeny, which is obviously a very, like, iconic relationship between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was funny. They used him a lot for a light, whenever there was something serious in an episode, they used him for the laugh, which, you know, worked sometimes and worked, didn't work sometimes. But overall, I think, you know, he still like was an older brother, kind of like terrible sometimes to Corey, but a huge improvement from season one. And I really thought that I liked what I saw from Eric.
Okay. I had a different MVP of the season. I have Mr. Turner. I think he has such a strong showing in the first season he's in. Like, I think he comes in and we talked about this a lot, right? Like, he's there as another teacher for Feeny to be able to talk to, but they have very different ideologies, very different thoughts on the best way to teach their students. I thought he comes in as like a really great mentor for Sean and Corey. I think he takes a lot of the space up that Amy and Alan previously had. And I love the ending of the season as well. And he plays a big part in that. So I gave my point to my MVP title to Turner. I thought he had a really strong showing. And if I was going to have like an honorable mention, I put Sean just because I thought those last two episodes were really strong. But I think Turner takes it if we're talking season long MVP. Mm-hmm. I think I have to give it to Turner.
Yeah, that does make sense. My heart wants to give it to Desiree, TK, Wendy as well. They were stars. I mean, they really were. Like, Desiree was so funny. TK is so memorable for only being in one episode. I just can't believe it. Poor Wendy really got the bad edit. She didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Mr. Turner did have a great showing. I'm curious to see what comes of next season. I feel like we're going to see even more from him. Mr. Turner's great. I just think that, like, we got a different side to Eric. And this is kind of like a good middle ground between like him not being like a womanizer and him not being a moron. Like, if we are going to give him an award at any time, I think this is the season to do it.
Fair. We don't know. Yeah. I mean, this might be his best showing. Like, this might be his best season. Like, it's interesting to think about, because I felt like season one, he was such a dick to Corey all the time. Like, he got my LVP last season, I believe. Like, he was such a dick to Corey. And I think, like, this season, he definitely, like you said, he had more storylines to himself. He was the comedic relief oftentimes. I think he had a good season, too. I just thought, like, Turner came in with a fucking bang. Like, he was there from the start with just, like, I don't know. I just thought he was really great. So,
and I liked his moments. I liked Eric's moments with Jason as well. I thought that they were a fun duo. Sad to say that, like, they're not going to have any more episodes together, which is, like, kind of disappointing. But
it is unfortunate. I mean, it's like we lose so many people going into season three. It's like Minkus all over again. But moving on to our LVP of this season. So I have a joke answer, and it's Morgan, because she has like three words, but
it's definitely Morgan. Morgan was,
but like, if I'm literally, but she's like a child. Like, if
she's a non-entity, though. At least last season she was like funny and she had sassy things. She might have like screamed her lines, but she was great in the first season. And I think that we didn't appreciate her enough because we were too distracted by her line delivery. But she was a great character in season one. She was so funny. She was like really sassy. We had like a really great moments between Corey and Morgan. I thought that was really, really enjoyable. And then she comes on, the kid actor is like, I don't give a fuck about anything, I'm not going to say any lines, and like we totally lose her. Like, my LVP is definitely Morgan, because she was especially compared to her first season. But what's your real answer?
Well, I mean, I can give it to Morgan because I do think she's earned the LVP title. But my backup, or like my honorable mention, was Amy, simply because I felt like she didn't have a lot to do this season. And it was one of my gripes with season one, was that I felt like Alan really took the front seat in terms of the parent that is involved. And I felt like even more so this season, we saw way less of Amy. And it was kind of, I remember saying in our season one wrap up that I'm hoping for season two that we get to see more of Amy, and complete opposite happened. So it's not against the character necessarily. It's more against the fact that she didn't have a ton to do. And I felt like the season lacked her presence a bit. So we'll see what happens in season three. Maybe she's there more. Maybe she's there even less, because now we have Elliot coming into the picture as well. Another adult. So I'm curious to see what happens with Amy. Oh, what did I say?
Elliot.
Oh, is his name Elliot? And I just...
I think his name is Eli.
To be fair, it's very close.
It is pretty close. I'll give that to you. Can't wait for Elliot, the best teacher in the entire Boy Meets World franchise. Elliot Williams.
I'm terrible with names. But yes, close. Those are LVPs. LVPs and MVPs. Should we move on to talking character arcs here? We have a list.
Of course.
All right. Let's talk about the main man, the main guy, Corey Matthews. His character arc this season.
Yeah. So Corey, I feel like, definitely matured this season, at least a little bit. I think his biggest focus this season was, who am I? What am I going to do? What name am I going to make myself in my junior high school? And then he actually then evolved from girls are icky and sports are everything to, you know, like, maybe I will want to date around. So that, I think that was his focus, like girlfriends, but not like in a gross womanizing way like Eric, except for sometimes, yeah. Except for the second episode
sometimes.
But and also the episode where the beard, that was a little womanizing as well, but that was mostly from advice taken from Eric. But for me, he was very focused on his legacy, and finding where he fits in this equation of life.
Yeah, I think Corey, to me, definitely hit a little bit of a bump in the road this season. I much preferred season one's Corey. This season, Corey felt more way too focused on being popular and, like, getting with, like, being, it's not even just that he wanted to date. It was that everybody else was dating, so he felt like he should be. And so that was kind of, like, a bummer a bit for me. And I think, like, and I mean, everybody goes through growing pains when you're an adolescent. You know, it makes sense. He's starting high school or junior high school or whatever the heck. And he's going through these things. But I think above all else, I did appreciate the Corey Sean relationship even more this season. I think that really shined. And I do love Corey's relationship with Harley and Frankie and Joey. I think those were some highlights as well. I don't think we saw, I think if we're talking character growth, I don't think we saw a ton with Corey this season. I think it really, for me, yeah. I think there were other characters that just had bigger growth arcs, which is funny considering Corey's like our main guy, right? Like,
I did not necessarily feel like Corey was our main guy this season. Like, we saw him in every episode, weird, of course, right? But I just didn't feel like he was our main guy. He tried a lot of things. He tried being class president. He tried having a radio show. He tried, he started an entire, like, student walkout for not taking tests. So he kind of failed at all of these things.
What I think we found from Corey is that he's not like a jack of all trades type of guy. He's willing to try a bunch of stuff, but he's not necessarily good at being a jock.
He tried being on the wrestling team. A lot of flopping. I think that what improved this season, you're right, is definitely his friendship with Sean. I think that's where he focused, like, most of his energy on. Like, by the last few episodes, you get to see him, like, really care for Sean, wrong side of the tracks, where Sean started hanging out with Harley and the friends, those other friends. Like, that was a good thing, like, him, you know, wanting to be there for him. I definitely think that overall there probably wasn't too much development. It's just like he was just like kind of all over the place, really.
I mean, I don't think, like, there's a reason Corey didn't get our MVP of this season. I just feel like there was other characters that had more going for them this season, one of which is Sean, who's who I want to talk about next. I feel like there was a reason he's my backup or my honorable mention for my MVP. We learned so much more about Sean this season. We didn't know last season, right? Like, we learn he lives in a trailer park. He doesn't live like Corey does. We get to meet his dad. His mom leaves. Like, the last two episodes did so much for Sean. But even before that, we have him figuring himself out in a much... on a much bigger scale than I think Corey's doing, right? Like, Corey is joining wrestling and trying out radio and all of this stuff, but Sean is literally to the point where he doesn't know who he is, and he feels like, I'm just going to become this troubled kid anyway. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to become the Harley Kiner, so I might as well get a head start on it, and I don't deserve a friend like Corey.
Right, yeah. Corey's, Corey's goal is, like, who am I in my, like, small high school setting? Yeah. And Sean's, like, who am I in, like, a life setting? Like, who am I going to be? Right. I think that this was a great season for Sean. We definitely see a lot of good nuggets for his future. And ultimately, I think, like, he became less of Corey's, like, sidekick best friend and more of his own person and character in this mm-hmm. season, which is phenomenal. I think that we see him definitely, with the mailbox from season one and a couple things, like, we knew that he was, like, a little bit of a troublemaker, but between, you know, this season with the Mr. Weenie paper thing mm-hmm. and, you know, him deciding to hang out with, like, Harley and the gang he was more in trouble. I'm so shocked that he did not get suspended at any point in time in this season. But he, we also see him being, like, more of a ladies' man this season, which is, you know, something that's going to develop more and more as the seasons go on. Like, he, you know, gets a reputation of being, like, you know, very much of a ladies' man, and we see him start to, you know, date around. But you know, there's moments like the episode where he was not invited to the party because mm-hmm. Because of, like, who he is, and that was because he was a popular kid. But then there was, like, this other thing where he was supposed to go out on a date with a girl, and because of his background, he couldn't go out with the girl. So there's mm-hmm. a ton of development and character development. And I think I mentioned this in our last episode, but this really, really made Sean a three-dimensional character. With a ton of layers, and they did a really, really great job this season of, you know, painting a full picture of who Sean is and who he will become.
Yeah, 100%. I think this season did a ton of legwork in terms of making us want to root for Sean and not just seeing him as Corey's best friend. He has his own storyline. Fantastic. I really can't wait to see more of Sean in season three, because we know now the way we left things off is he's going to be living with Turner. Mm-hmm. So that's just a whole new, and that's the other thing that, you know, we haven't talked about Turner yet, but the relationship between him and Sean and kind of the building blocks that they set up this season, I think that those are really great, and those are some of my most favorite things of this season is kind of like the Turner relationship with the students, because we've seen Feeny with the students in season one, and then we have a completely different adult and a different perspective and a different type of teacher, forming a relationship with them in season two. Huge leaps and bounds for Sean this season. I really, really enjoyed what they did with him. Moving on to a quieter character this season is Alan Matthews. Season one, we talked a lot about how he was, like, the mentor, the adult that Corey went to when he's struggling, right? Like, he is the voice of reason in a lot of those scenes. Season two, not so much. I think he still had a stronger presence than Amy, but not by a ton. Like, he really wasn't super active. Still a bit of a hothead, as always. We see a little bit more romance between him and Amy, which we hadn't seen a ton of. I mean, a little bit, but not a ton in season one. So we get more there. But yeah, I think he shines the most in Career Day, which is the penultimate, where we see him agreeing to take in Sean. And I think, you know, I think season one, if we were to look back, I'd say you could count 5-6 moments like that in season one with Alan. And I think that season two is a little bit more limited. We didn't get as many shining Alan's a great dad moments as we did in season one. What do you think of Alan?
I absolutely agree with you. He definitely takes a step back this season. We don't see him as much with his children. What we do get is him and Amy, you know, saying, oh, like, should we worry about this, about either kid? Or like, you know, being, you know, exasperated by whatever his children are doing. Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely like a disappointment because Alan is a very interesting character. And I did like the moments between him and Corey. I liked the dad-son moments. We did wish for less last season, and we got our wish. But, you know, I kind of want to see... We got it, but I want to see something in the middle. Naturally, as kids grow up, they, you know, rely less on their parents and more so on other influences in their life. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this throughout the season. It makes sense, theoretically. But I definitely wanted to see more from Alan, more development, learn more about his backstory. We definitely got a ton more from him in season one with everything, with his family life. We learned a lot about his family life last season. We learned a lot about his relationship with his parents. We learned about, like, how he handles, like, work. And we did not get any of that, really. You know, we just got snippets at home, and it was just used as, like, you know, once or twice an episode we check in at the Matthews residence and see what's happening. But I think his best showing, you're absolutely right, is Career Day, the penultimate episode in the finale, home, where he decides to step up and, you know, bring take Sean in. But then ultimately, like, we get, like, the typical, like, Alan stuff, like, he gets heated. When he's aggravated, he gets heated. So that's kind of his most memorable moments of the season.
Moving on to his wife, Amy Matthews. We talked a little bit about her already. You know, I was disappointed we didn't get more Amy moments this season. I thought, being that season one felt very Alan focused, I thought maybe we'll get more Amy moments. But I honestly think a lot of it is that they focus a lot of time on the male characters. Like, Topanga's barely around this season. Morgan obviously is not really talking much. And Amy really takes an even further backseat. If she was already in the backseat, now she's sitting fucking three rows behind everybody. Like, she didn't say much. And it's disappointing. I think if we're pointing out, like, some of Amy's strong moments, I feel like, I mean, the main one is also probably Career Day and Home. And I think it's because she's balancing out Alan, right? Alan's getting frustrated, and Amy is the one saying, shh, like, it's okay, we'll make it work. We'll make things work. It's okay if we have another kid in the house, we'll do this thing. You know, like, she's very supportive of Sean and taking him in. Yeah. But I think beyond that, nothing really stands out in my mind in terms of, like, huge, huge Amy moments.
The other Amy moment that sticking out to me is when Harley Kiner comes to talk about relationship advice with her. I really liked that. I do
love that.
And she was just like, you know, if you love her, then you have to, like, you know, pay attention to her and do stuff that makes you happy or makes her happy. I thought that that was really good. I also, you know, in pairing off, I think that there was a lot of a little bit of guidance between, you know, like, you have to get to know a girl and, like, really, like, you know, you ask her out because, you know, you like her and you have to know her name. So I think that there are some, like, good moments with the Matthews family. I like also Amy, like, you know, telling Eric, like, don't, like, answer your beeper to Desiree. Like, yes. You know, she yeah. didn't like that. What else? Like, there was like a lot of like snippets, very small snippets of her interacting with
yeah,
her kids.
I love her and Alan on the anniversary with the trash compactor or whatever the heck. I thought that was a funny moment. But yeah, I just think like those are, they're funny. I just think we're missing some more of the serious stuff that we get with some of the other characters, right? Like the depth.
Right. I want to, we want to know more about Amy. We want to know more about her home life, her backstory. And right. I honestly, I don't know if we're going to get it. I can't remember it. And I don't remember.
And I think the thing is you think if we were going to get it, it'd be in season one, because the main characters, Corey, Sean, all of them are so young still. So their family is going to be, it's going to be more centered on their families for the show. Right. I feel like the older that Corey and Sean and Eric and all of them get, the less time that we'll have for the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. So we probably won't learn a ton. I'd be happy with just, you know what I would be happy with? If in season three we got like the same thing we got with By Hook or By Crook with Eric and the tutor, right? That entire episode was centered on Eric and the tutor. I'd love to see an entire episode just dedicated to Amy and Alan, or even just Amy. I think that would do a world of a difference in making us care and making us see her as a three-dimensional character. I don't think we're going to get it, but that's what I would like to see. And I say this as if the show isn't already over. I don't remember. I have no idea if that's coming down the line. I'd like to see it if, you know. But yeah, I think that disappointed that we didn't see more of Amy this season, but someone who got your MVP vote and we did see a ton of is Eric. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Eric's arc?
Yeah, I mean, Eric is definitely a predominant character in this season. We see him like form his own storylines. I think that his relationship with Jason really elevated his character as well. We get to see him as like, you know, have different interests and different friends besides just like getting girls and like forgetting them, and a new girl every episode. Like, we still kind of got a new girl every episode, but it wasn't as much as like a focus. I think that he was also used as like a big comedic presence, and we got to see a different side of him, which made him more likable in my opinion. Overall, I think it was a really good season from Eric. Obviously By Hook or By Crook is a really big standout episode for him. Probably my favorite showing in the entire series so far of Eric. And then, you know, we still get silly moments, but they're not like, they don't feel like stupid. You know what I mean? Like, they just like feel like, you know, we're going to use Eric as like a ha-ha moment.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think the huge change for me with Eric is you mentioned it a little earlier that like he does have Jason. And I think that when we have just Eric and his siblings, of course, he's going to seem like that shitty older brother who treats his younger sibling like garbage. So when I think when you give him a character like Jason to bounce off of, you see their friendship, it really is going to show you the better signs of Eric, right? And we see him being, you know, somewhat of a womanizer, but I think the way he does it, it's more endearing this season. I think you're right. I think By Hook, or if we didn't get By Hook or By Crook, which again is the episode where Eric is getting tutored and he is, you know, cheats and then he admits to cheating and all that stuff. I think if we don't get that episode, I think my view on Eric is a lot different. I think that episode does so much for him as a character. We get, I think, is this the first Maybe it happens in season one where he calls Morgan Weasel. I don't think we had many Morgan and Eric stuff this season. But yeah, I think this does a lot for him. And I'm curious to see, we've talked about it before, he goes from being a womanizer to really fucking stupid in the future. Like, really fucking stupid. And so I'm really curious to know when that shift happens. We're not even halfway through covering this show. So I really want to know, what season do they flip the fucking switch on us? Maybe it's next season. I don't know, but I'm curious to find out.
Yeah. I also liked him a lot in Notorious and Me and Mr. Joad with Desiree. We loved Desiree. We thought that she was such a funny and compelling character. And also yeah. We had Jason Puddin. We also had Jason there as well. And then ultimately, you know, we get to see like Eric go from like a slobbering mess with Desiree to like sticking up for himself and standing by Jason. Of course, Jason switches the script on him and goes out with Desiree instead of him. But I thought that was really good. I think that maybe what helped... This might be a hot take. I think maybe what helped Eric be likable is that Jason, even though he was a fun character, he was much less likable than Eric in comparison. So compared to Jason, he's like, oh, wait, no, Eric is great. Like, Jason's the slime ball.
Yes. This is such a good point. Yes, I didn't think about... I mean, I feel like this coincides with my theory of like, okay, well, Jason is there, so he's a friend with Jason. He's like, Jason's also pretty shitty. So it, by comparison, it makes Eric look
by
good.
Comparison.
That's fantastic. Like, that's so right.
Yeah, a lot of the times when Eric got himself into like a pickle, it's because Jason got him into that situation. And like any time that we didn't like what Eric was doing, it's because Eric pushed him to do it. Like the stupid storyline where he was listening to the tapes to learn how to be a skater. And then we got that dumb like Nancy Kerrigan, you know, daydream. It's like that was Jason's fault. So if anything, we can blame Jason, not Eric.
That's completely fair. No, I like this. I like this a lot. I think it makes sense. Okay, so moving on to Morgan. We kind of already talked about her a bit. I don't know how much I really have to say on her because she's barely there. But yeah, big step down for Morgan. She barely had any lines this season. I mean, I preferred the shouting Morgan, to be honest. Sad, too, because this is the last season we get with this version of Morgan. So I wish we could have more to say about her, honestly.
Yeah, Lindsay Nixie, I think it is her name, this actress, an adorable child star. She couldn't be cuter, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. I really liked her. And last season, she was hilarious. She was a little star. Like, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I hope you feel bad now that you were, like, shitting on her the whole time.
I do feel kind of guilty. I just trashed this child star in season one so much so that she, like...
And now look what we have. She probably heard you in the past. Like, she's probably a time traveler and was like... Fuck, I suck. Like, nobody likes me. I'm going to... So, like, we know that this actress, it was a joint decision between her mother, mm-hmm. and the producers that they were no longer going to continue with this actress. She just didn't want to be there anymore. She's super young, probably like 7 or 8, if that, at that time. And it's hard. Like, you know, it's hard. You don't really have a life as a child actress. So I don't believe that she goes on to any acting endeavors. I do know that she makes some sort of a cameo in Girl Meets World.
Who doesn't, but, though?
So I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what the next Morgan.
Yeah, the older they don't us. They age her up, right?
Like, they age her up a little. I mean, to be honest with you, like this Morgan is very memorable to me, but. You know, we'll get the next Morgan. It's fine. So this Morgan is Lily Nixie, and the next one is Lindsay Ridgway. I
mixed
combine the two.
That's fine.
Yeah. So interested to seeing, you know, how Morgan progresses. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, in the first season, she was mostly there for comedy, comedic relief. And then I know, like, I think the next Morgan is like a sassier Morgan. We'll see. We'll see what comes of it. But we will miss you, Lily Nixie. You're adorable. Mm-hmm. I did not hate your screaming of your lines, unlike Jessica.
I much prefer her not say anything, though.
I'm not surprised that she got replaced. I think that I don't know exactly what was happening, but it's pretty evident that it was not going to work out going forward.
Based on season two, for sure. Let's get into somebody who we saw a little bit more than Morgan. Not a ton more, I guess.
Barely. Barely.
One of our faves, Topanga. Honestly, kind of disappointing. We didn't see more from her. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but like we thought coming into this season, we're like, yes, can't wait for more Topanga. And then so if we're going to say that she doesn't have a lot of moments, I will say the moments we get from her are pretty big impact moments, right? Like she kisses Corey. We talked about them in pairing off. We talked about the Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf kiss, you know, them falling asleep while finishing assignment. And then that really causes a huge issue between the two of them. Big rift.
Did we talk about 7 minutes in heaven yet?
No. Yeah. So that moment is huge too, right? So it's so strange to me that there's no wonder, in my opinion, why we thought Topanga was a big character in this season, because the moments she has are super memorable. When she's on screen, it's very memorable. We just don't get a ton from her.
After, I think like after the late teens, like we do not see Topanga for the rest of the season. Yeah. Clearly absent.
And when we do, it's like the Corey has mono. That's the Eric episode. Corey has mono. And like, it's like she's like jealous and not for nothing. But one other thing I want to mention is just how different Topanga is this season from season one.
Yep.
She is no longer the hippie child, right? The flower child. She is no longer that person. She calls her dad daddy. She doesn't even call him Jedediah, which we know from season one. She just feels very different as a character. I feel like
other friends.
Friends. Yes, that's right. She's been off hanging out with other teenage girls, apparently adopting their ways. I feel like season one Topanga wouldn't get jealous. I feel like season one Topanga like wouldn't care what other people think as much. I don't know. She feels very different this season. Not necessarily in a bad way, just in a more conventional way, I guess.
Yeah. Like, we see, like, a little bit of her, like, free spirit attitude, but it's definitely, like, she's more, like, of a normal, quote-unquote, girl in this season. I mean, my thoughts are it's disappointing that we didn't see a ton of her. I feel like she was more memorable in season one. She had higher highs in season one. I know like season four, very Topanga heavy, but I do think that season three, we're still going to be a little bit disappointed with the presence of Topanga.
I just think, like, it's not even just that we don't have a ton of Topanga. It's just that we don't have a ton of women. Like, we don't have... We have Feeny and Turner as, like, the main teachers. We have Miss Tompkins, but, I mean, she's barely around. She really is only there to serve the purpose of dating Turner. Amy's there, but we barely hear from her. Morgan doesn't even utter three words. And Topanga's only in a few scenes. Like, it really is just you feel the absence of women, in my opinion, in this season.
Yeah. Well, it's called Boy Meets World, Jessica. It's not called Girl Meets World. We had that show and it's shitty. So
I'm just saying, like, I think that, because here's the thing. I don't know that this show was meant to serve like only young boys, right? Like, I feel like this show is meant to be for kids in general. And so maybe you should include some women who are more staples in the show versus like only having them there as like this is the girl that Sean dates this week. Like, come on.
I thought this was a girl's show. I mean, we talked about this before. Like, I thought like my memory of it was like, oh, the show's so girly. No, like this is a show for young boys, really. I mean, not really, but it's for people.
It is and
but,
it yeah, isn't.
There's definitely.
I think if you want to have a show that everybody can, I don't know if identify with is the word, if everybody can feel that relates to their own life, you need to have a main character who is not a guy. Like, I just say, right? Or not only that, but I think you, I mean, not that Corey is like the most masculine character of all time, but he does show an interest in, you know, stereotypical masculine things like sports, right? I just think we need more, I wouldn't even say women, I would just say feminine characters. Energy. In general, yeah. Right?
I do agree. We'll get it. I mean, like,
I know. It's just like, I'm not a patient person.
Like, when Angela comes, we'll get it. When Topanga is a, like, main character, we'll get it. We get Rachel eventually. Like, we get a lot of feminine energy. We're just not quite there yet.
And maybe this was a complaint. Maybe this was why they end up branching out a bit more.
Maybe, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, are we going to talk about Turner next or Feeny?
Let's do Feeny first. He's from season one, so we can kind of track his progress.
Yeah, I think that Feeny was more fun in this season, and I think that's specifically because he had Mr. Turner to bounce off of. I think that he, you know, had like a lot of like fun moments. We see him start his relationship with Eric, which is like, you know, arguably he has like a kind of a stronger relationship in a way with Eric than Corey, because Corey's like kind of focused on like other stuff, but he really takes the mentor position for Eric. You know, Corey doesn't need Feeny as much as Eric needs Feeny's guidance. So we see the beginnings of that. Still with the long cons, maybe less so. I think that his obsession with Corey is a little less this season, slightly. Yeah. Maybe, you know, he got really, really scared when that one teacher that he tried to date found the shrine. Oh, shrine. He was like, oh, yes. Maybe I need to like back off a little bit. But ultimately, like, I do think it was, I think I liked Feeny better this season than season one. And I think that the reason why is Turner, he got the Turner bump. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I was going to say the same thing. I think Feeny has more of a presence in season one, but that's because Turner's not there yet. So what I will say is, while we got less Feeny this season, I really enjoyed the Feeny Turner stuff. So I think it's a difference of like, where Amy, we like barely saw her and we're like, where the fuck is Amy? Feeny just got different content than in season one. Mm-hmm. I felt like Turner kind of took over that mentoring type of relationship, at least with Corey and Sean. Like you mentioned, Feeny and Eric grow a little bit closer. But I really appreciated having Feeny have someone to bounce off of with Turner. I think that we have probably more memorable Feeny moments from season one, but I like the growth that we've had with Feeny so far. I love him having a younger teacher who thinks differently than he does. Makes Feeny seem a little bit crotchety at times and a little bit too traditional, but I like that. I think it's a fun back and forth. So I'm excited to see even more from Feeny in the future, because we didn't get a ton of Sean and Corey in Feeny's class this time. We got way more of them in Turner's class. So I can't wait to see a little bit more of that, because I will say, I love Feeny as a principal. I think it's fun. I do miss a bit of the Feeny in front of the class. I think we only got a little bit of it, right. And I did miss a bit of it. So hopefully we get more of that in season three.
I like a lot of Feeny's office hours. So, for example, when we see Feeny with fake Griff and real Griff in his office, that was a lot of fun. When we got to see Feeny confront the tutor, that was fun. And, you know, guide Eric, that was interesting. So Feeny's office hours, I would like to go to office hours with Feeny. Every day between 3 and 4:30, you can go to Feeny's office hours. Yeah. I liked him in Danger Boy when he wanted to be dangerous and decided to go on the roller coaster with Corey. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You're right. Definitely, like, get off my lawn, Feeny. Like, we get a lot of moments where he's, like, pretty grumpy. But definitely, you know, more, like, I feel like he was more likable this season.
Yeah, no, I agree. It softened him up having Turner around. I do agree. And speaking of Turner, let's turn our attention to Turner. Yeah, obviously, I thought he was great. I gave him my MVP vote for this season. He comes in with a bang. I mean, I don't have a ton more to say about him simply because I've mostly said everything already in that I love him as a mentor to Corey and Sean. I love the relationship he develops with Sean that we'll see go even further next season. I love his relationship with Feeny. I think the only like negative things I'd have to say with Turner are like he seems to be a bit commitment phobic, and the way he treats Miss Tompkins isn't always great in that I feel like he just kind of strings her along for a while there. But you know, if we have to give him like, it's a very real thing, like at least it's three-dimensional, right, that he gets more built around his character. But I love Turner. I love him as a character. I love that we'll get to see his relationship with Eli next season. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Turner's 100% a fuckboy and a horrible boyfriend. But aside from that, I really like him taking a special interest in his students. In the first couple of episodes of the season, we see him connecting with Corey and then ultimately Sean. And we're going to get a lot more of that content. I think that he was a great foil to Feeny. I think that his new school mentality was refreshing versus Feeny's old school mentality. I thought that I don't agree with his teaching methods that every 3 days his kids are supposed to read a new book. I think that that's a lot to ask of seventh graders, and maybe he should rethink that because it's absolutely insane. But I think that Mr. Turner there was refreshing both for Boy Meets World as like for storylines and also refreshing for the eyes. We really enjoyed his style and we really enjoyed his looks and we really enjoyed his face and we really enjoyed his backside. And I guess that is what I think about Mr. Turner.
There you go. It's true. He gets the Zaddy Award for this season for sure. All right. Let's talk about our favorite and least favorite episodes. Funnily enough, as much as I said that I thought this season was kind of meh, I did have a lot of episodes I really, really enjoyed. I think that it is no surprise that Career Day and Home are very high up on my list. Two Sean-centric episodes, the more serious episodes of the season. I feel like we've dropped By Hook or By Crook a ton as well. The Eric episode with the tutor was really good. And then my two other ones that I do want to mention are the two that had really great guest stars. So Sister Teresa, which had TK, and Breaking Up is Really, Really Hard to Do with Wendy, I thought were also strong episodes. I can't get Corey's old man voice out of my head ever since Breaking Up. It's really, really hard to do. It's so good. What about you, Sarah? What are some of your favorites?
So obviously Sister Teresa is a big standout to me. I think that that was a really, really good episode. I agree. Career Day was also high on my list. I really liked Notorious and Me and Mr. Joad because of Desiree. I feel like we're kind of forgetting about Desiree this season.
That's true. I do. How early was she on? She was on very early in the season, right?
Episodes 3 and 4. So that's it why. Was a long Shame time ago. So but we had so much fun talking about Desiree, and she was such a psychotic character, and we loved talking about her. I thought that was a lot of fun. Also liked Wrong Side of the Tracks. And then I agree, Breaking Up is really, really hard to do. Home, By Hook or By Crook. Those are the standouts of the season. Then we get a ton of meh, middle-of-the-road episodes that really could be ordered in any which way. You know, not standouts, not like something that I would go back and watch. A couple of memorable moments. But what about your least favorite episodes?
This is going to surprise nobody because it was in a doubleheader podcast where we talked about it for maybe like 15 minutes and then swiftly moved on to the next episode. Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf? Not my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I just think the whole episode, we were like, what the fuck is going on? What is the purpose of this episode? It was like a very like jokey, like I just didn't know what to make of it. It didn't make narrative sense to me. It's one that I would not, like, if I'm going to do another Boy Meets World rewatch, like, I would not watch that episode. I would skip over it.
Yeah. We're scarred by that episode. Like, we are seriously, like, whenever there's, like, a Halloween episode of any show that we watch, we're like, oh no, another Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't, like, Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf is by far my least favorite episode of both the seasons that we've seen. Terrible. I also did not enjoy the beard where Corey and Sean decide to, like, babysit two girl options. We get, like, probably Corey and Sean's, like, worst behavior when it comes to dating and women in this episode. Mm-hmm. And both Sean looks shitty and Corey looks shitty, and we don't want, you know, our two main characters to look like a bunch of jackasses. So I was not a fan of the beard.
Yeah, that tracks. I remember really being disappointed in their behavior in that episode. So I do agree with that. I think, like, and I think naturally for us, it makes sense that the episodes that we don't really like as much are probably the ones that we didn't enjoy podcasting about as much. I think we said this for season one as well. I think we really enjoyed talking about Desiree and TK and Wendy and all of them. So I think naturally those episodes are going to be higher in our rankings. Also, right. I'd love to hear from everybody else what your favorite episode was or ones that you absolutely hated. I'd love to hear what everybody else thought as well. If maybe we're on a completely different wavelength than everybody else. Who knows? Let's move on to Fashion Hour. We love leaving Fashion Hour towards the end of our podcasts. We have a winner of the Rachel Green Award and the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. Would you like to take a guess at who won each of those awards?
I think that Sean won the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfits. Mm-hmm. I think that he had a really great grunge aesthetic this season. And then in terms of who won the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award, maybe Corey. I feel like Corey had a lot of, like, good looks this season that were, like, totally timeless. He went away from the color blocking and decided to try out Eric's hand-me-downs. Let's start off with the Rachel Green Award. Who won the Rachel Green Award for season two?
So, funnily enough, this person's impact is felt because this person was not in a lot of the show, like we mentioned earlier. Topanga won the Rachel Green Award. She was barely in season. That's how good her outfits are. She won with 3 points.
What? 3 points? What is this? How is that even possible? And
the best part is that tying in second place, there are three characters who all had 2 points apiece. Mr. Turner, Desiree, and Sean.
Oh, no. All right. So I guess that we spread the wealth this season.
We did. And I think, to be honest, I think whenever Topanga was on the show, we were always putting her outfits in the nominations because I think that she does have great fashion. So, of course, she's going to be there. And when she's there, she wins. So kind of make sense. Yeah. So the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness, we actually had a tie for first place. I don't know what we do. Do we have to break the tie? We really spread the wealth in the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award this season. A ton of people had, like, 1 point here and there, right? We had, like, background girl. Desiree's also in this category. Ingrid. Like, a ton of characters here.
Yeah.
We even had a first tie of, like, Frankie and Joey joint award. But the top two, you were correct with Corey. Corey had 2 points. And the other person who tied for first is Feeny with 2 points.
Oh, wow. Stunning. Now, okay, tell me who voted for each of these characters.
Okay, so I'm pulling up my spreadsheet here. And, okay, so for the Corey wins, I nominated him. You awarded him the points.
Twice.
Both times. And both of those times we had a guest. I don't know that that matters, but both of those times we had a guest. And for the Feeny wins, you nominated him once and I nominated him once.
Okay. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, do we give it to both? Do we flip a coin? I mean, it's our rules. I guess we give it to both.
I think they could just tie. They could just tie. I think that's fine. I don't, you know. Yeah, they'll just tie. It's fine. We really spread the wealth.
How there many trophies were... did we order?
God damn it. We need to order another trophy now. We had,
crap, okay.
We had, we had 12 people get points for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness this season. And because we had like doubled up a lot of the times, I think we only had 15 podcasts. So there were a lot of times where a new person was getting the points. Let us know if you disagree with that as well. I'm curious what everybody thinks. I feel like everybody should be on board with Topanga getting the Rachel Green Award. Turner makes sense as well, I think, to be in second place. Moving on to our thoughts on for season three. What are we looking forward to? What are we hoping for? Sarah, what about you? What are you dreaming of for season three?
I'm really looking forward to seeing Sean and Mr. Turner's relationship like bloom and come into full fruition. I think we see the rise and fall in this season. So I'm like, maybe not. I'm not quite sure, but I'm excited to continue that. Interested. I mean, all of the Mr. Turner stuff. Interested in seeing Mr. Turner and Eli's relationship. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know that we see, you know, the beginnings of boyfriend and girlfriend, Corey and Topanga, officially. But then we also see a breakup. So I think that's going to be a very interesting episode. Kind of like seeing our first breakup happen and us talking about, like, who we think is right in this situation, who do we think is wrong. It's very early in the series to have their first breakup. You know, they're a little bit off again, on again. So I think it's going to be really interesting seeing it in a, you know, an adult's perspective, because back in the day, I was totally like, you know, team love. Like, you know, I think I was even like upset with like, you know, a lot with Topanga at times for breaking off their relationship. And I'm curious if, like, you know, as like an adult, am I going to be like, no, like Topanga was justified in this situation or whatever I'm going to think. How about you? What are you interested or excited for in season three?
Yeah, I think that similar to you, I'm excited to see more of Topanga and the Topanga-Corey relationship. I think it's going to be really interesting to track. I'm excited to see more of the Turner-Sean relationship. And we talked about Eli coming in. That's exciting. New Morgan, I'm actually interested in seeing what happens with New Morgan, because I only remember the one thing, and it's the loser freak situation. That's the only thing I really remember about New Morgan. I think... I really love seeing, especially I think a huge indicator of how the season's going to go is what do we think of the premiere? Because it's the characters are changing, they're aging, right? It's a kids show. So all these kids are aging. So seeing that will be fun. Yeah, I think more relationship stuff. I just hope that I feel like season two was heavy on the teenageriness of it all and kind of lost a little bit of that fun aspect that I think season one was really captured us with. So I hope they find a good balance in season three of the relationships, but making it more funny and not making me dislike Corey and Sean and the way they treat women. I'm interested to see whose side I fall on as well for the Corey relationship drama with Topanga.
We get a couple of like really memorable episodes next season as well. Like we get our first like out of box episode with I Was a Teenage Spy, and that's when they like go back to the 1950s and it's like the Cold War era. So that's gonna be interesting. We get to see Eric in his prime get his little weatherman internship. Excited to see him thrive in that situation. So there's a lot to uncover. We also, I know there's like a couple of exciting guest stars going on. So I think that there's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. I kind of hope we get a new intro too, because honestly, I was not feeling this intro for the second season. I even prefer the first intro better. And I was shitting on the first intro. No, you don't. Yeah. I don't like it. No, it's like but so I think fast. Like you don't even see anything.
Yeah, I like the car one. I don't know when we get that. I have a feeling the car one is in it for another more couple of seasons because I believe like Jack and them are in that one. So it's going to be a minute till we get that one. But yeah, that'll be fun. I forgot all about the intro song because I don't think about it as much because it's not as long as the season one one. So I just don't think about the season two one at all. But yeah, that'd be fun as well. A lot to look forward to. Speaking of season three, as a scheduling note for you all, we are taking 1 week off between seasons two and three, just kind of a recuperate. We did this between seasons one and two as well. So we won't have a new podcast out for you all next week, but we will the following week. So stay tuned to hear from us. That would be, so we're not going to have one release on the 7th, or excuse me, we will not have one release on the 10th. The next podcast you hear from us will be on the 17th. So getting into what's coming up from us, obviously Dawson's Creek content as always, but we are now in June. It's a new month, which means new bonus content. Sarah, what do we have coming up?
So for June, we are doing, we talked about like, you know, childhood classics. So the first episode or the first movie that we're going to be covering is A Land Before Time with the great Lindsay Wilson, and that's going to be really, really exciting. Jessica somehow got me to talk about dinosaurs. I don't know how. It's such a scam. don't agree to this, but nonetheless, like, it was definitely something that I watched when I was a kid. Obviously, there is a character named Sarah, so that was very exciting as a young child for me. And Jessica loves dinosaurs, so any chance she gets talking about dinosaurs, she's full. I don't love dinosaurs. That's not really true. And then a second bonus podcast that we're coming out with is probably my favorite childhood movie of all time. I love it. It's something that we've been wanting to cover for a really long time. And that is Now and Then with Deirdre from the PSR Discord. And I'm really, really excited to talk about Now and Then. It's, like I said, it's a movie that I watched a ton. I feel like it has to hold up. I feel like it's another one of those movies that I watch yearly. It makes me bawl crying every single time I watch it. Jessica, what are your thoughts about our upcoming bonus podcasts?
I'm really excited. I'm really excited both for the guests that we're having on. I think full-on ladies month, like, yes, sign me up for that. As well as the fact that both of these are really, really close to my heart as well. I was obsessed with Land Before Time. Obviously, we all know I love dinosaurs. Now and Then is just so good. I remember connecting with Christina Ricci's character just so, so, so much. So I'm really, really excited to be covering both of those this month. So stay tuned for those. They're going to be fun podcasts. So I can't wait.
Me too. I'm really looking forward.
Yes. So if you have feedback for those, you can always send that in shit90spod@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us or go on Instagram shit90spod. And I think that's all we have for you guys. So we really appreciate you guys being here. If you've listened since the beginning, thank you so much. This is really, every time we wrap up a season, I get like a little bit nostalgic. Like, this is so much fun. I can't believe we get to do this all the time. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all in 2 weeks. Don't forget, next week we're off. We will talk to you all next time. Bye, everybody. Shit90shows.me.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons.
And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.